Well, it's Mother's Day, and I want to say welcome to all the moms that are here, and we want to celebrate you here this morning. And one of the most important responsibilities that God has given to our ladies is motherhood, and so we want to welcome you and thank you for coming and being a part of our service here this morning and worshiping with us. And I hope that, how many moms got brekkie in bed this morning? I got some kids raising their hand. How'd that happen? Supposed to be the other way around. Well, I'm glad that you've started off the day right, and I hope that they got some special things that are planned for our moms here today. And so this is an opportunity for us to show our love for our moms. And we are so grateful for our moms and the efforts and time and the sacrifices they have put into our lives. And so we want to celebrate them here this morning. But we'll be talking about women of faith here today as we continue on with our series leading up to Mother's Day today. And we'll be in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles up to 2 Timothy chapter 1, let me encourage you to do that. But also we want to not only celebrate our mothers here this time of year, but also we want to recognize that for some this may be a little bit of a difficult time for you. For those who maybe have lost their moms, or maybe they've lost their children, they're no longer with us. We know that this could be an extremely difficult time of year for them. And also those that who want to be moms and maybe for some reason aren't able to have children, at least not of yet. And so we want to recognize them as well, and let's pray for them. And of course, there are some that maybe their children are not speaking with them, or maybe they've had a falling out as well, and so we want to recognize them as well and just pray for them. So let's take a few moments and let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord, and we do thank you for our moms. And Lord, we thank you for motherhood in general. The investment that our moms have made in our lives, Lord, it just can't be measured. And so we are grateful for them. We are grateful for all the sacrifices that they've made to get us to where we are today, Lord, and help us to never take that for granted. And Lord, especially those that have had godly mothers and how they've invested in our spiritual lives, Lord, we are especially thankful for that, and we're grateful for it. And Lord, we think about those that maybe are struggling this time of year as well. Maybe some that have lost their mom, or maybe some that have lost their child. Lord, we know that family is so important, and when they're gone, it's difficult sometimes when we have these special days. But Lord, I pray that this is not a day of sadness, Lord, but the opportunity to just remember the good things that they've actually enjoyed whenever they were with us, Lord. And so I pray that you would comfort us, those in need. And I pray that you would just be there for us as we go through this time. And also, Lord, pray for those that couldn't be here today for whatever reason. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with them and encourage them and build them up as well. And Lord, those that are not able to have children, Lord, we pray for them. And we know that in the scriptures there have been a number of ladies that were barren and wasn't able to have kids, but Lord, you touched their lives. And so we pray the same for these ladies. And pray, God, that you would work in their bodies and so they would be able to have children if that is indeed your will for their lives. But we also know that there are a number of children out there who have a need for moms. And so, Lord, we pray that maybe they too will be able to fill one of those positions as well in the lives of these children. And, Lord, those that may have had some family breakdowns, and I pray that you would restore those families, Lord, and I pray that you would bring them back together during this time of year. So, Lord, we're grateful for our moms once again, and as we open up your word and we study the scriptures, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the truth of these godly moms, and we thank you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. There are those who we refer to as influencers as part of the fabric of today's society. You hear about them quite often. You probably see them online or see them in the news from time to time, and I almost hate to give them that name, because I don't want to show disrespect for those who have, in our past, who have really been influencers for good. And I don't want to have any disrespect for them referring to what they call as influencers today. because we have had some people in our paths that have made some significant influences on our world, the way we live, and for the better. And so we're grateful for them. The fact of the matter is we do have influencers today. And they may influence because they believe that in whatever they're promoting, or they may be influencers because they like the notoriety, or they may be influencers because they've been influenced themselves. Some may do it as a way of living. I can't remember the exact numbers, but Val was actually doing some research this week, and she looked up what some of the top influencers make, and man, they make some pretty decent coin. Just getting online and influencing other people to buy certain products and things like that. So some people do it for a way of living. Some of their influence is positive. Not all influencers are bad, but I think most of the day that we see online is probably negative or very superficial at least. Now, despite their motives, these influencers are impacting our culture today. And this is why this message, I believe, is so important for us today. If you're not the one that's influencing your child, well, then chances are there's somebody else out there who are influencing your child or your children. And a lot of this is done through social media, and their beliefs and their values may not match up with yours. And phones today seems like it's a right for children. And so you can't necessarily take them away anymore, it seems like. And so they have access on their phones 24/7 to some of these influencers. And even if the phones are taken away, friends ensure that they have access constantly. And so we have influencers within our reach at any time of day. And so we can't just sit back and put it into the too hard basket. We must be vigilant and influence our kids to find what is right and find what is godly in their lives. Now, if you have watched the news here of late, and I'm sure you've seen some of the nonsensical protests that are taking place in our university campuses around the world, and I have a special interest in this, especially being from the U.S., I see what's going on over there, and one of the interviewers picked up two girls that were protesting at one of the universities, and they asked them specifically, well, what are you protesting? She says, oh, we're for Palestine. Says, great, but what are you protesting? What is it that you're actually protesting? Well, I'm not sure. Okay, so she looks over to her friends and she goes, well, what are we actually protesting? She goes, well, I'm not sure either. Maybe we need to educate ourselves. You think? They're protesting simply because they've been influenced by others. And we're seeing that throughout our world today. People don't have any idea what they're protesting. They're just doing it because other people are doing it. And they have become a part of that, like a bunch of sheep being led to the slaughter. And I'm sure their parents would be very proud to see them wasting their money in protests instead of studying for the degrees that they had said they were going to do in the first place. Why can't we protect our kids from this nonsense? What can we do to protect our kids from this ungodly influence in our culture? Well, it starts with being a godly parent. But not just as a parent, but also as a godly aunt or a godly uncle or a godly grandparent or a godly friend. In other words, we need to put godly influencers in our children's lives because we're outnumbered as parents here. And we need all the help we can get. One of the things in life that I thank God for is a godly mother. She taught us the truth of scriptures, and she demonstrated that throughout her life as an example to us. And her love for God was great, and it was evident in all areas of her life. If it hadn't have been for a godly influence of my mother, then there's no telling where I would have ended up today. The worldly influences that were surrounding my life, especially during my high school years, were very strong, and I did get off the rails for a few times. But I believe that my godly mother's prayers brought me back on track. Never underestimate the power of a godly mother. Today, we will examine the characteristics of a mother and a grandmother. We'll also see some additional benefit for generations working together to influence a child for God. These two ladies will be that we're going to be examining today are Lois and Eunice. And we see that they have a sincere faith. This is evident in Timothy's life, but we'll start with them. And we see in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Here Paul was talking about Timothy, and he's thanking the Lord for Timothy. And he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. Here we have a faith that is genuine. Paul describes Timothy's faith as genuine or as sincere without hypocrisy. Paul could see the genuineness of the faith to such a degree that he thanked God for it because it brought him great joy to see that in the life of Timothy. It was a faith that was real, and I love being around people with real faith, don't you? Man, I love being around people like that. You know, they don't come and they don't play church. They are the hands and feet of this church, and they're the ones that get things done. It's a faith that's real to them, and you get around them, and their faith is contagious. Your heart is full of joy when you get around them. And the ladies in Timothy's life were the same. This is where he learned it from. And they were not out to make a religious nuisance of themselves just to get noticed. There was sincerity in what they had believed and followed through with their actions. It is part of their strength and resolve. It is who they were. But also we see faith was evident. Timothy didn't do lip service here. When Paul was working alongside Timothy and can testify of the faith that he saw in this man, as they ministered together, Paul observed Timothy's life and work and rejoiced in God's work in his life, and he attributes it to the work of Lois and Eunice in his life. Now, Thayer describes defines this as undisguised or sincere faith. Undisguised, their faith was not hidden. The people who knew them knew that they were believers. In this day of tolerance and relativism, we are encouraged to hide our faith and not make a big deal about it. We are encouraged not to speak of Christ, to leave our Christianity at home. But the danger in doing that is losing our accountability and our credibility, not only in our community, but also in the lives of our children as well. By not taking Christ with you is like taking off your wedding ring when you go out. It would be much easier for a person to fall into adultery who has the habit of taking off their wedding ring when going out on the night and into town than someone who wears it to identify them as a married man or a woman. When people see a godly mother, it's evident. It's not hidden from view. They proudly wear the badge of Christ. They didn't care who knew about it. And Timothy saw that in their lives. And in doing so, we have a faith that is reliable. Paul will turn over parts of his ministry to Timothy. So he will back away and Timothy will take the reins. And Timothy has proven himself and shown himself that he can be relied upon to do the work that God has entrusted to him. And Paul doesn't have to second guess whether Timothy is going to show up for work. He is reliable and one that you can count on. And I imagine that he had learned this from his mother and his grandmother as well. But also we see here a sharing faith. A sharing faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwell first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded it is in you also. We see here a committed faith. A committed faith. Paul makes it a point to show us where Timothy's faith come from. He had a mother who was committed to faith and demonstrated what that faith looked like. She lived out her faith so that her children can learn from her. Some things are taught and other things are caught. It's one thing for us to tell our kids how they should act and how they should behave and what they should believe. But if we are not demonstrating that in our lives, then how can we expect our kids to follow through with that in their lives as well? So often it is do as I say and not do as I do approach when it comes to parenting today. I remember that TV commercial where you have this guy that is driving down the road with his daughter, and she opens up the glove box there, and there's a pack of cigarettes, and it has those ugly pictures on it, and it talks about mouth cancer, and she looks over at her father and says, "If you get mouth cancer, can you still speak?" And he says, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can or not." And so she says, "Well, that would be sad if you do." And he says, "Hey, look, I didn't know that whenever I started smoking." And she says, "Well, you do now." I think it's a very powerful commercial. You do now, so you can make those changes right now. And this is to be demonstrated in our lives. Often it's not a do as I say and do not do as I do approach. It would be great if we as parents could live out our lives in such a way that we can look at our kids and we can tell our kids and others to live as we live, to do as we do. This is how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Oftentimes your kids will imitate you, but the real question is, are you imitating Christ? Are you imitating Christ? We see a compounding faith as well. Whenever we talk about money and we talk about investments, one of the things that I like to invest in is compound things that give compounding interest. If you're not sure what that is that they'll go and give you interest on a certain amount that you put in, and then they'll take that interest and they'll apply that to the principal amount so that the next month you get interest on all of it. And I see that in faith as well. Godly mothers can produce godly children. The evidence of a godly mother can usually be seen in her mother. And the reason why Eunice was able to pass on her faith to her son Timothy was because Lois, her mother, passed it down to her, Eunice. Here we also see a perfect example of how godly influence works in our lives. And this is what we should be doing in the lives of others as well, even today. A young woman has a greater chance of becoming a godly woman if there is a godly woman in her life in order to influence her. And God instructs us to teach godliness to the next generation. It is the older women that is supposed to teach the younger women. And in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, this is a spiritual truth, talking about spiritual children here, but I believe it also can be applied to our physical children as well. There is great joy in knowing that our children are walking in truth, to see that you have instilled into them the tools needed to make those tough decisions for Christ, for them to know the truth and to obey it. But in order to receive that truth, godly parents increase the chances of their children living for Christ. The best thing that you can do to ensure that your children are living a godly life is to share God's truth with them, God's word with them, and to be that example in their lives. But also we see a concentrated faith as well, concrete faith as well. Lois, we look at her background here for just a moment. Some commentaries have come to the conclusion that Lois was probably the first in her family to be a believer. Her name is a Grecian name, and so it appears that she had converted to Judaism. And then she passed that down her beliefs to her daughter Eunice, and Eunice grew up with a godly mother, faithfully teaching her the scriptures until she too became a godly mother herself. And as we look in Eunice's background, we've got some indication here in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, and the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Eunice was married to an unbeliever. It doesn't say here that he was a believer. So his mother and possibly his grandmother were solely responsible for little Timothy's spiritual upbringing. We are seeing families like this more and more today. One parent is a believer and the other is not. And in some cases, the unbelieving parents are apathetic on spiritual things in the life of the child. And so the believing parent can teach those truths to the children. But there are other times when the unbelieving parent is hostile to biblical teaching, which makes raising godly kids much more difficult, especially if there's a divorce in the situation where kids are actually used as pawns for punishment with the other spouse. For those who are single, this is one of the reasons why the scriptures warn us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. When you marry an unbeliever, you both have different worldviews, and it will have an impact on your decisions. We had a number of ladies in Bible college when I was in Bible college, and they were looking for their MRS degree. You'll get that in just a moment. They were looking for some guys to put a ring on it. You know what I'm saying? That's what they were looking for. And there were many who were looking for a good godly man, and they wanted to be involved in ministry as well. But when they ran out of options because there was no boys who were desperate enough to put a ring on it, they looked to non-Christians in order to fill that void in their life. And they justified it saying, you know, they were sort of, missionaries in the sense that they were, you know, dating these unbelievers, and it was missionary dating is what they called it. And so they were hoping that they could win these boys to Christ by dating them. But oftentimes we see that those, instead of them influencing those boys influenced the girls, and they began to move further and further away from Christianity. Many who were once had a love for God and they desire to be in ministry are not, they're not in the ministry anymore. And chances are most of them are divorced, and some of them don't even attend church now. Why? Because they refuse to wait on God to bring a godly man into their lives. And when you're ready to get married, the first thing you need to do is look for a spouse that is a believer. Not good looks, not intellect, not a good job, but you look for someone who is a believer. That's what's important, because this is what the scriptures teach us. We're not to be unequally yoked. And they have a relationship with Christ, and the stronger the better. Of course, there are some who get saved, and after they get saved, and after, or after they get married, they get saved after they get married, and of course their spouse may not want to be a believer, and so therefore they're still living in that situation where one is a believer and one is not. And I've talked with person after person who struggle with their marriage relationship because of this, because one is a believer and one is not. And the reason for that is quite frankly, Amos 3:3 tells us, can two walk together unless they be agreed? If you can't be on the same page, if you can't walk together, then life is going to be hard as a married couple. One may think that a certain lifestyle is acceptable while the other is trying to steer their kid in a right direction, and they may say that is actually not acceptable to them. And it's a struggle to raise godly kids in a home where one parent is an unbeliever and one is not. But listen, it's not impossible. Eunice here did it, and so can we. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's certainly worth the extra time and energy that it takes to raise a godly child. But also we see a sustaining faith as well. And we see him following in the footsteps of his mother and grandmother. One of the things that impressed me about Timothy is he chose to follow his mother and grandmother's footstep instead of his father, who was an unbeliever. He didn't choose to follow after his father. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." We must be faithful in presenting the word of God to our children. And if we're willing to do this, then we have a principle here that says that a word will not return void. I remember that in my own life whenever I was getting further and further away from God in my teenage years, that some of the truths that my mom taught me as a young child and some of the verses that I had put to memory as a young child began to come back into my mind. And those are the things that sort of draw me back to where I should have been and get me back on the right track. And in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Notice here what our responsibility is as parents, that we are to train up our children in the way that they should go. We're not to let our kids off the leash in order to find their own way. We have leash laws for animals so that they don't get hurt or they don't hurt other people or other animals. And so when it comes to our kids, I mean, we think that, oh, well, we don't want to stifle their creativity. Just let them run free. Let them be free spirits and let them find their own ways and formulate their own beliefs. The reason why society wants parents to do that is so that they can program your children for their benefit. And so we are to train them, we are to teach them, we are to model godly living for them. And that will be the basis for them to come to know Christ when the Holy Spirit pricks their hearts. He had been prayerfully taught by his mother and grandmother, and this prepared him to receive the gospel. And in 1 Timothy 1:2, it says, "To Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul calls Timothy and later on Titus a true son of the faith. They have a true belief in God. And where did that come from? Well, 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." He encourages Timothy here to continue on with the things that he had learned as a child. He was taught the Holy Scripture, the genuineness of faith that was evident in his grandmother and in his mother is now as evident in him. So much so that Paul wanted him to be part of the ministry. And so he trained Timothy for the work of the ministry, and we see him come into full-time ministry. Timothy, with Paul's training, becomes an evangelist. He now takes on the responsibility of passing on his faith, which has been so evident in his family, and teaches that to others as well. He went on two missionary journeys with Paul, covered areas like Galatia and Asia and Macedonia and Achaia. And eventually he became the pastor of the church of Ephesus. Because his mother's faithfulness, he is now in a position to be used by God for the ministry in a mighty way. And even though his heritage may have started with his grandmother, he can now win many more people to Christ because of their faithfulness, and the reward will also go to their account as well. When we invest in the lives of our kids and they grow up and they do things for the Lord, well, then we get the benefit of that as well. We get the reward of that as well. And we see that he was faithful to the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings." Notice he's saying here, "Share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Paul was talking to Timothy here saying, you need to share with me in the suffering of the gospel. Just because Paul was being persecuted, there's no reason for Timothy to be ashamed. Just because Paul was his mentor doesn't bring any reproach upon him. There is no reason for him to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Now look, sometimes we may go through hard times in our lives, and there may be those who would want to question our faith for that reason. And it may even cause some embarrassment in our lives. I mean, they may look at us and say things like, your God really loves you if he allows you to go through that. Oh, where's your God when you need him? Just because we go through trials and tribulations does not mean that we have to shy away from our faith. In fact, it is expected. Jesus said that we're going to have tribulations as long as we live in this world. Jesus came into this world in human flesh, was tempted in all points like we are, and then died on the cross to pay for our sins. And in doing so, he has now become our high priest, who can sympathize with us when we experience trials and testings in our own life. And when we experience those trials and testings, then we can sympathize with others who may not know Christ as Savior, and we have the wonderful privilege and the opportunity to share our faith with them because we have a better understanding of what they are going through in their lives. So Paul was telling Timothy not to be ashamed. He goes on to say, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed and a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. This is our calling in life, he says. God chose this life for us even before the foundation of the world, and we must remember that the gospel message is part of that despite the struggles and things that we face in life. Despite the trials and tribulations we go through, we must remember the gospel message. We're only here for a short period of time, and one day we'll be in heaven with him throughout all eternity. Let's not lose sight of that, regardless of what is happening in our lives. And he continues, "For this reason, I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." Hang on to those sound words that I have given to you, Timothy, because one day you're going to need them. Timothy was to endure the persecution just like Paul did. They were co-sufferers in the affliction. In fact, in Hebrews 13:23 says, "Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see if he comes shortly." It appears that Timothy had spent some time in prison as well. And Paul has said he had been set free and he's waiting on him. The faith that he grew up with, that was passed down to him from his grandmother and his mother, was to play a key role in the endurance of his faith. Tradition says that Timothy died a martyr for his faithfulness. The martyrdom of Timothy took place in Ephesus when angry pagans murdered him with stones and clubs because he interrupted an annual festival procession in honor of their god Diana. He preached that they should turn from their dead idols to the living God through his son Jesus Christ. And so they fell upon him in anger and they killed him by stoning him and they dragged his bodies through the streets. What more can one ask of their children than that they were faithful to the end? And what more can our children ask of the parents? That they were faithful to the end. It's up to us to train our children in the way they should go. It's our job and our responsibility and also our privilege to train up the children in the way they should go. We can't pass this off to governments. We can't pass this off to schools. We can't pass this off to child care centers. And why would we do that? We want to instill in our kids the godly values, not the values of this world. If this is to take place, then it will be up to us to do so. No one's going to do this for us. Even if you live at home where one parent is unsaved, there is still hope there. Timothy is a perfect example of the effects of a godly mother can have on a child, even when the other partner is an unbeliever. I thank God for godly mothers and grandmothers. And I hope you do as well. And I hope you let them know, those godly mothers and grandmothers in your life, let them know how much you appreciate them. But it isn't just godly mothers that can have an influence on our children today. One godly woman can be a positive influence on our children. And if you don't have kids of your own, maybe you can find some kids that you can make a difference in their lives as well, that you can invest into them. You may never know the difference that you can make in a child in his lifetime than by spending time with them and teaching them the truth of God's word. Your words and your influence may be the very thing in their lives that keeps them faithful to the very end. So let me encourage you with that here this morning, and I hope this has been an encouragement to you that we have that opportunity to invest in our kids. And we want to take that very seriously, and we want to thank our mothers and our grandmothers and those that have invested in our kids here this morning. We want to honor you. We want to say thank you very much, and also we want to say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I pray that as we learn the truths of your word, Lord, that we will pass those down to the next generations. And I know we're focusing on mothers here, Lord, but that's something that we all can do. It's not just for mothers. And Lord, I pray that as we see the influences happening in our culture today, Lord, that you would allow us the opportunity, Lord, to combat that as we spend time with our kids and we instill those truths in their lives, Lord, so that they too can rise up and be godly parents for their kids. And so, Lord, we thank you for those that are here today, and we pray for those that couldn't be here today. And, Lord, we pray that you'd keep your hands on our families, Lord, because, Lord, we know as the family goes, Lord, so does the nation. And so, Lord, we desperately need godly influence in our families. And we thank you for these godly parents, Lord, especially our moms and our grandmoms here this morning that have invested in the lives of our kids, and pray, God, that you would continue to bless them. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.